Isn't it good to reflect? What a weekend it is. What an awesome, awesome weekend. A lot of people don't realize what Memorial Day is, right? A lot of people don't understand that it's a barbecue time. It's the beginning of summer. I've seen interviews and other things, people getting asked, what does this weekend mean? And they had no idea. Well, we were celebrating World War II or veterans. This isn't veterans. That's coming up. This is for those who have sacrificed and given the ultimate sacrifice in their lives. I heard a little boy was at a church service like this, and afterwards he went out in the lobby, and this particular church had plaques on the wall, very beautiful memorial to those who had, honoring those who had died in service. And the little boy's looking up, and he asked the question as the pastor came out, and he goes, what are all these pictures, these men and women? And the pastor said, well, these are the men and women who died in service. And the little boy's eyes got big with a fearful look. He goes, first or second service? Been waiting a whole year just to save that story. It's Memorial Day. It's the weekend. It's the beginning of summer. And I'll tell you, it's awesome to see the sun shining out there. Yeah. Oh. There's something about the sun shining that just makes us all feel a whole lot better than it being rainy and cold and gray. There's something good about that. It's the beginning. Everybody wants to get out in the sun. And so I'll be honest with you, I wasn't sure how many people were going to be here, and I said it in first service. In fact, I think there could have been more people in first service. There were so many people in church. I said, well, I thought everybody was camping this weekend or gardening, or if you're like us, mowing lawns for hours and hours and mulching and doing that stuff, because there's just something good waking up in the morning and opening the door and taking a big fresh air of allergies. And oh boy, are they working overtime. But there's something good about it. My son, one of my boys, he has this tank top shirt that says, sun's out, guns out. I'm like, really? Really? Any excuse to not wear a shirt? There's something awesome about the sun, and so everybody's taking advantage. So from Memorial Day to Labor Day, we call it the summer. The days are longer, the sun shines more, and there's just some benefits in that. There's just something awesome about that. There's benefits to the mind. There's benefits to the body being under the out in the sun. And I'm going to say this. I think there's benefits to our spirit. So Joshua, this is amazing. I picked one of the craziest stories, I think, in the entire Old Testament. You're going to be hard-pressed to find a story like this. You say, do you believe in the Bible and these stories? I do. And I believe the Bible is metaphorical. I believe the Bible is literal. I believe the Bible is poetic. But I believe in the literal translation that Jonah was swallowed by a large fish. I believe that. I believe that Jericho's wall fell down from people shouting. I believe that Noah built an ark and animals 2x2 got in and the earth flooded. I believe these things. And I believe that Joshua asked God for the sun to stand still, and almost an entire day it stopped and added an extra day. You say, people say, well, Pastor, that's why so many people in the world say, Christians, you guys are out of your mind. You believe stupid, crazy. How can you believe in things like that, like a fish and in a way, or, you know, swallowing a man or this, or people walking from the dead. You're right. You're right. I believe in crazy things. I don't believe in normal things like, hey, billions and billions of years ago, nothing existed except about 100 tons of atomic explosion, which created this massive big bang that caused nothing to come together, create perfect order that in our orbit of our 9 solar system planets revolve around a sun, that somewhere all of that matter just appeared in a gigantic explosion but created perfect order, and then a single cell in a primordial soup decided one day, hey, I'm tired of this soup. Somehow on my own, I'm going to multiply and then become a frog after being a fish, and then I'm going to become a lizard. I'm tired of being a lizard, and symbiotically, I'm going to become a male lizard, and another one's going to become a female lizard, and then we're going to become monkeys, and one day we're going to buy a house down by the lake, drive a Mercedes-Benz, and have a job downtown as an accountant. You're right. I believe in crazy things like the Bible. Are you with me? You go ahead and pick your crazy. I've picked mine. And Paul said, if I'm out of my mind, I'm going to be out of my mind for the sake of Christ. So we have this story. By far, in the Bible, you're not going to hear this preached too often. Joshua is going to battle with these five kings. And as Joshua goes to battle with these five kings, he says, I'm not going to be able to fight them in the amount of daylight I have. God, would you make the sun stand still until we're done with victory? And God says, you know what? I've never listened to a man like this before. Tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to do this. And you say, is that possible? Of course it's possible. And I'm into these history things and science, and so I did a little bit of research. In Joshua 10:13, your Bible, if you've got that, you're going to want these notes. Trust me. You're going to want to have a pen. You're going to want to steal something from your, I mean, borrow something from your neighbor. Because the Bible says the sun stood still. All kinds of theories. Science has looked at all the different theories saying, well, the sun is already standing still. Because we orbit around, you know, until Copernicus, everybody believed that the earth was the center, and Copernicus came along and said, no, I believe the sun is the center of our solar system. And they said, you're crazy. You're the smartest scientist and philosopher known to mankind, but we're going to put you to death. They said, we can't put you to death for such heresy as saying the earth isn't the center of the universe, so we're just going to burn every book that we can find that you've ever written, and we're going to put you in a house arrest in jail for the rest of your life until you die. Well, I'm so glad that they did that to him, because he must have been some kind of crazy, because everybody today knows that the orbits in the earth revolve around us. That's our world. Trust me, last year's number one word by Webster's Dictionary is selfie. Trust me. Trust me, we live in a world that doesn't want the truth unless the truth is selfie, okay? And so the sun stood and the moon stopped till the nations avenged itself. The sun stopped in the middle of the sky. Now, what he's saying here is in all kinds of theories, but here's what I found. It did. There was almost another day. It says the sun stood still. And look at the last part. The sun stopped in the middle of the sky and delayed going down about a full day. Now, whenever the Bible puts something in there, it's there for a reason. So you got to ask this question. Why does it say about a full day? How would they even know? Why is that even important? Why didn't it just say, and the sun delayed going down that day, or a day, or 2 days? Why did it say about a full day? Well, NASA, some 45, 50 years ago, there was a gentleman that was doing work there. He was an engineer, and he did contract work. And the story, whether you believe it or not, the story, and I've done a lot of research to kind of find, and people are like, we're not sure. We've asked and we've interviewed, but here's where the story is. They put together their computers, and they went back with an atomic calendar, and they went back as far as they could, and their computer shut down, and they said, we have a glitch. They called in the mechanic, and the mechanic came in, and they said, we've got a problem. Something's missing. We find a day that's missing, and the computer won't access or continue past this. And it was about the time of this historical event or biblical event. And so they went back and they said, we're missing 23 hours and 20 minutes. Not a whole day, about a day. To which the Christian said, this gentleman said, wait a minute. There's a story in Joshua 10 where it says in the Bible, the sun stood still about a day. And they go, wow, that could kind of make sense. And then people say, well, that's not true. How can we prove this? I did not share this with first service. So those of you that slept in for this service, good for you. They checked this story. And what they found in this story is they went through different cultures. And written in the history of different cultures by different leaders that we have documented, in the Greeks, they found a day during the time of a king's reign, which is the same time as Joshua, that something happened where they talk about an extended day. The Mayans and the Incas, who have really good sundial and calendars. I mean, everybody's going off their dials like the end of the world. And I mean, they really do well at calendars. They found a day at the same time period where there was a day that seemed to be extended. History has at least five cultures that talk about an extended day that was a strange day. They talk, well, was it an eclipse? Was it this? Well, it was an extended day. That's all we know. But there's a problem historically. Well, what do you do with the other 40 minutes if there was part of a day? Well, in Isaiah chapter 38, verse 8, Isaiah the prophet goes to King Hezekiah. King Hezekiah is asking an answer from God. And he says, and God says, what do you want me to do to prove it to you? Do you want me to make the shadow of a man go 10 steps forward? Well, that makes it, I mean, it's like, well, going forward, that, how about you make it go 10 steps back? And so the Bible says, I will make the shadow cast by the sun go 10 steps. It has gone down in the stairways of Ahaz. So the sunlight went back 10 steps as it had gone down. Now, what's interesting about this, if you take the 360-day calendar of the Jewish and you take 10 steps or 10 degrees, 10 degrees into 360 is 40 minutes are missing. 40 minutes here and 23 hours and 20 minutes in the story that we just talked about is the missing day. Now, I find that, you say, can you prove that? No, but one day when we stand before God, we'll go, hey, God. And he goes, I showed you stuff. I put breadcrumbs out there. I put stuff in the Bible so that you could know that I am God and there is no other. Let me say that again. God says, I'll put stuff in the Bible so that you can know I am God and there is no other. Let me give you some no doubters so I can just lob it in so you can hit the home run. God puts things in the Bible for a reason. And he does this for Hezekiah. There are benefits to being in the sun. So there's Joshua. He says, God, I need the sunshine. We're not the United States Marines. We're not Navy SEALs. We don't have infrared goggles that we can fight our enemy in the dark. We don't have flares that can go up. So Joshua says, God, if you would make that sun stop, I'll have victory. So I have three observations about how powerful the sun is, what it can do for us. Because we love getting out in the sun. So here's what Joshua found out. Number one observation, exposure to the sun creates an atmosphere of power. Amen? Exposure creates an atmosphere of power. The sun in our solar system is the most powerful energy thing that we know of. It is incredible. Can I tell you, the Son of God in my faith is the most powerful thing in our known universe. So get under the sun. If you will stand under the sun and be exposed to him, he will put a covering over you of power. You may not be getting this. In verse 8, it tells us in verse 8, in Joshua chapter 10, the Lord said to Joshua, you get out under my sun, don't be afraid. I have given them into your hand. Look at this. Not one of them will be able to withstand you. Can I tell you, there is power of being under the sun. Oh, folks, 9:30 service was... Here it is. Even Superman knows that when he's getting weak, he has to fly near the sun to get his power. Even Superman knows that. So here it is, ladies and gentlemen. You want power in your life? You have got to get exposure in the sun, and it will create an atmosphere of power. I don't think you're getting it. I don't think you're getting it. Lord, I don't think they're getting it. I don't think they understand. There's power being in the sun. We have solar panels. We have all kinds of heat things. We know that the power of the sun in the world side of it, S-U-N, is enough to create life and energy and photosynthesis, and nothing lives without the power of the sun. We as human beings need to get under the S-O-N, under his power, because nothing lives and has power like those who are under the sun. Let me illustrate it. Romans 8:31 says, what then shall we say in response to this? Come on, church, help me. Let's say this together. If God be for us, who can be against us? What do we say in response to cancer? Because God, I got to get under the sun. Do you know that people say, don't go get too much sun. It'll give you... I have done more research this week and read more medical journals just to make sure this is true, because I had cancer last November. I had skin cancer. God chose to not necessarily use, just I say by medicine and miracle, he chose to heal me, okay? I was healed of that. They said, well, you're in the sun too much. I lifeguarded for 4 years. I grew up in California. There wasn't a day I wasn't in the sun. Do you know that they found that being in the sun and being exposed to the sun creates vitamin D? Vitamin D goes into your body, and it creates every kind of health benefit that your body needs for healing. Do you know that people who have exposure that live in states that are exposed to the sun have less cancer than people that aren't exposed to the sun? Well, who's telling us this stuff? Now, too much of something may not be a good thing, but let me tell you something. If you put sunblock in, your skin will not activate vitamin D. That's what sunblock does. And clothes. You can't just be in the sun. You got to be exposed to the sun. Some of you got to get out on the back porch and go ahead and just get out there and say, thank you, Jesus, I'm healing. Because the sun has medicine when you're exposed to it. And you can't have sunblock on. And here it is, Joshua has no sunblock. He is standing before God, and God says, there is nothing. There is no one that can stand against you. Why? There's no blockage. I got no sin. I don't have anything covered. My body is going to heal. I've got stuff going on because I'm exposing myself to the sun of God. There is victory and there is power when you are in the sun. Shannon Brasher, a good friend of mine, he is one of the top, at the time, he was one of the top three decorated military soldiers in the United States. He has three Purple Hearts. He's been shot up, blown up, stabbed, busted up. He's got a plate in his head. He had a bandage in his back. He had his knee shot up, his arm shot up. He has been on more missions than any human I've ever heard of. This guy is a phenomenal hero today. Lives in Iowa, good friend of mine. He's been here before. And he tells me that when we went into Desert Storm, after the World Trade Center, he got a phone call from the Pentagon, and they said, First Sergeant, would you come out of retirement? We would like you to train 1,000 Special Force Marines. We'd like you to be the first wave in Desert Storm attacking Saddam Hussein's Royal Guard. He went to his wife. He'd been retired. Three Purple Hearts. He served his time. He went to his wife, Janine, who's gone to be with the Lord. And he said, Janine, what do I do? I'm done. I've served my time. I'm not the guy for this. Let me just say this, gentlemen. His wife said, you need to think about this. There's a reason that God has you where he is, where you are. There's a reason for such a time as this. There's a reason that God has this covering. You are a man who walks under the power and the atmosphere of the sun. You are a man who's been anointed by God, followed God, and he's preserved your life just like Joshua. She said, I think that you are supposed to do this. Now, guys, can I tell you, it's important to listen to your wives. Yes. Guys, stop looking away. Ladies are doing this. Come on. You heard what he said. I wrote it down. I wrote down, we're supposed to get naked on the back porch, and you're supposed to listen to me. And I never used the word naked. If you're out there and you get arrested, do not call for jail ministry. I never said that. I said, you just need to get exposed to the sun. That's all I said. I'm in so much trouble. We will use first service on the website. Those listening online, I'm sorry. Shannon listened to his wife and he went into battle. He trained 1,000 soldiers. He's sitting there. He tells me, I've got all 1,000 of my Marines, and I hear my commander say, First Sergeant, move them out. He says, 8 clicks away, I don't know what 8 clicks is, but across the desert, he said, we could see in the mirage, you could see the helmets dug in of 120,000 Iraqi Royal Guard and other soldiers. He said, at that moment, I had to move them out. I said to them, remember your training. They look to him with confidence. They know who he is. They know he's a man of God. They know he's anointed. They know he's a man in the sun. They know he's covered in an atmosphere of power because he walks with the Lord. They trust their commander. He says, let's go, move him out. He said, Pastor, we attacked. We attacked, we ran across there, and we did what I trained them to do. And we engaged 120,000. Do the math. We have basically a biblical proportion battle going on. 120 to 1 outnumbered. And yet, he said, I didn't lose a single soldier. He said, in fact, one of my soldiers got his leg out too far and got a fire from a machine gun and took one shot to an ankle. That's the only soldier who was wounded out of 1,000 Marines. We took 40,000 prisoners. I said, what happened to the other 80? He said, we eliminated them. He said, we walked into that understanding that God had me under this blessing for a reason and took me out of retirement for a reason. You see, because he's a man who's under the sun, and that creates an atmosphere of power. You got to understand that. Because if God is for us, what is my response to this? What is my response to those soldiers? Hey, my response is God is for me. You can't be against me. When the doctor says, hey, we got a problem here, you've got this disease. My response, what is my response? What shall I say? God is for me. Cancer can't be against me. You see, my God can raise up the dead. This body you cannot destroy. In 3 days, Jesus said, destroy it, and I'll raise it back up. So know this. My response is this. You can kill the body, but God will raise it back up in the resurrection. What shall we say in response to relationships? Well, this marriage is done. Everybody says it's done. Or my singleness is, I'm always going to be single. What shall we say? Well, no. You got to understand something. God is for me. No one can be against me. What about the government? What about this? What about that? What shall our response? What shall I say? I understand that my getting under the sun every day, are you getting enough sun? Because me, it creates an atmosphere of power in my life. That's number one. The second observation, number two, exposure to the sun creates an attitude of praise. It creates an attitude of praise. Amen. You know it. Mentally, we just talked about physically what it does. Do you know mentally that when you get sunshine, you release serotonin in your brain and you are happier people? It's true. Serotonin. Serotonin is the happy drug. When we have gray skies and darkness, it creates a disease, a depression disease that's called SAD. It's basically a deficiency of serotonin, and it causes depression and anxiety in people. So when we have these long, long winters and these gray, gray skies, you know, happy people are Florida people, sunshine state. That's why you got to get a place in Florida in the wintertime, amen? It'd be just great for me as a pastor if you guys would all just get a place down in Florida, and for about 4 months of the year, we all just kind of go down there. I'm not buying, but let's all go. Because being in Michigan, you hear people. You hear people all the time. And they just get these attitudes in the wintertime. They just get grumpy. I'm glad we don't live in Seattle, Washington. There's hardly any sunshine in Seattle, Washington. It rains almost every day. They talked about the rainy states and the depressed states. And we are number 8 out of 50 states of the least amount of sunshine. That's why when the sun comes out, people are just like, ah, oh, here comes the sun. Do-do-do-do-do. Here comes the sun, and I say, it's all right, do-do-do-do. I know that being in the sun does something. Look at what Joshua says in verse 12 and 13. Joshua gives us the answer. He says, when you're in the sun, you're ready for a prayer. You get an attitude. You know, you get a great attitude. On the day the Lord gave the Amorites to Israel, Joshua, he's in the sun, right? He says to God in the presence of everybody, so, son, God, I want that sun to stand still. You start speaking stuff. When you're in the Lord, man, you start saying stuff. You just got a great attitude. Your attitude is victory, victory, victory. Man, you start walking around, you just got the happy dance. People look at you and go, what's wrong with you? I've been in the sun. You've been in the sun too long. It's like, you're right, I have been in the sun. And you see other people, they're like, I don't know. You just seem happy all the time. I hate happy people. Like, what's... You ever meet people like that? It's nice out, but trust me, it ain't going to be nice tomorrow. Well, I'm so glad with the gas price. Well, gas prices are just going to go up. Donald Trump is the worst guy in the world. Well, I know this is going on, but that's going to go on. You ever meet people like that? It's like, you need to get some more sun. You ain't getting enough sun. Because you get a son, you get an attitude, and you start talking to the sun. You start talking about the stars. You start saying, hey, stars be moved. You start saying, cancer be healed. We had a situation that just made national news. National news. Our nephew works for Casas Por Cristos. We took a team, and we went and built a house with Casas Por Cristos. Well, he's down in just on the border by Juarez, and he's building stuff over the border. And the other day, he decided to do something nice for a couple guys who looked like they could use some help. He said, I'd like to hire you guys to do some drywall. They did some drywall at his house. He said, hey, I'm going to put you guys up. You don't have a place. I'm going to pay for a hotel for a few nights. Here you go. We get a phone call a few days ago. They trashed the hotel, stole the television, stole the refrigerator, went back over to his house, broke into his house, and stole a bunch of stuff, stole all of his guns, and he's a gun collector. He's got all kinds of pistols, but he's got semi-automatics, AR-15s, all kinds of things, silencers. Now we got a problem. There are a couple guys running around with those things. When you get an attitude, you start saying things different. We're praying for our family on Thursday morning. And we're just praying, and all of a sudden, God just laid on my heart. He said, you start speaking this stuff. I mean, God's glory was there. We were in the sun. We got a little sunshine right there at the edge of the bed, kneeling down on the floor. The sun was shining. Just felt really confident. You start getting an attitude of praise. And I just started saying, thank you, Jesus. You know what, Jesus? Right now, I just want to speak to these two criminals. They've got lots of weapons. They could kill a lot of people. I'm asking that right now that you would capture those people today, not tomorrow, not like, oh, God, let's get these people. Right now, I'm praying with attitude that you get those people. I'm not kidding you. 15 minutes later, on the national news, the SWAT team is surrounding a house. And we're looking at this story, and her brother calls us, you got to look at this story. On national news, it's right, guess whose house? These guys had gone into a house with all of these weapons, and the ATF and the FBI have them surrounded. They caught the guys. They arrested the guys, and they got all but a few pistols. They got all of those things back, and that's a miracle of God because you don't know. He says, well, I'm never going to be nice to another person. I don't trust people. How do you know that God didn't allow your trust to catch these guys who obviously haven't done this? This isn't their first rodeo, that they're out there doing this stuff, and who knows, they're not getting ready for a mass murder expedition of taking these guns out, and because of your niceness, and because your uncle knows how to pray, and because these guys got wrapped up, we prayed, and these guys aren't out doing what they were going to do, but your kindness brought them in, exposed their darkness, and now they're caught and in jail for a long, long time. You say, what kind of attitude do you have? I have an attitude of praise. Because you know what? You get around Jesus, you start shining and glowing. In Exodus, Moses, remember Moses? He goes up to the mountain to get the Ten Commandments, and Moses came down from the mountain. He had been in the sun. He'd been on the mountain. He comes down with two tablets in the covenant. He was not aware that his face was, help me, church. Come on, church, you turn to someone saying he was glowing. He was glowing. Why was he glowing? Because he'd been with the Son. He'd been with the Father. He'd been with the Holy Spirit. You get with the Son and you are going to glow. People are going to look at you and go, what's wrong with you? You just got that grin on your face. You're like, I don't know. You've been in the sun too long. You're glowing. And it says when Moses came down, and then it goes on to the next verse, and it says when Aaron and all the Israelites saw him glowing, his face was radiant, they were afraid to come around him. Can I tell you, there's power, there's an attitude of power, and there's an attitude of praise that you create when you get under the sun. Peter knew this, and John, they got arrested, the guys are putting them to death, and in Acts 4:13, look what your Bible says, the exact same thing happened to Moses. This is when they realized the courage of Peter and John. They were dumb, average people. That's my translation. They were astonished because ordinary people don't have this kind of glow. And they took note that these men had been in the sun. You see it? Get in the sun, people. Get in the sun. Here's a hashtag for you. Long exposure to the sun will cause burning. You want to get on fire for Jesus? You got to get in the sun. John Wesley said when they asked him, why in the world do people come listen to you preach? He said, I light myself on fire and people come watch me burn. He got up at 5 a.m. every day and spent 2 hours with Jesus. He got out there, he got his lawn chair, and he got in the sun 2 hours every morning, and he lit himself on fire. Long exposures to the sun will cause you to burn. You got to get with Jesus. Let me close the service this way. I got a lot of stuff I could say, but let me give you this last one. Exposure creates an atonement to his presence. Exposure to the sun creates an... I don't even know what that means, Pastor. I have no idea what that means. Here's what it means. You need the sun to get you into the heavens. You need an atonement. You need someone who's going to get you past your darkness. Are you ready for this? This will blow your mind. Joshua, in verse 6, look what your Bible says in verse 6. The Gibeonites sent word to Joshua. Say, Joshua. He said, don't abandon your servants. Come quickly and tell someone, save us. Can I show you the Bible always has shadows? Here's the shadow. The word Joshua and save us. See the atonement. We need exposure to the Son so we have atonement into his presence. Joshua is the same word as Yeshua, our Messiah. Save us is the same word, Hosanna, that they waved palm branches and they said, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They are saying the very thing that you and I say every day. Jesus, save me. This is happening in this story. And you know what Joshua knows? Woo-hoo! He knows that to get to the place of salvation and victory in your life, you got to get in the sun. How does he know that? Because a few days before this, he marches around Jericho. We found Jericho. Archaeologists dug it up not long ago, and they said, yep, fortified city. And it's exactly as the Bible describes. They found stones and blocks crushing bones and bodies. They said it's exactly described in the Bible, one of the most fortified areas on this hill. And they said, we found it. We dug it up. It's true. Joshua marches around it how many times? Church, march around it 7 times. The first 6 times he marches around, and they're not to say a word. Isn't that interesting? Why did God tell us 7? Why not 5? How about we just get this over with on day 1? Do we really need to walk around this whole city every day? Every day. Why 7? Why not 6? On the 7th day, he said, now you march around 7 times. And when you do, I want you to let out a shout that's going to shake the roof and bring those walls of your life down. Here it is. 7 means something. Why is God telling us 7? Because it's not 6. Because you and I were created on the 6th day. And on the 7th day, God rested. See, 7 is a perfect, awesome number that gets us into the sunshine. Your 6 will not get you in the sun. It's only your 7. What do I mean by that? You were created on day 6. Revelation 13 says your number is 6. It says the devil's number is 666, and man's the same. It simply says this. Romans 3 says, for all of us sin and fall short of the glory 7 of God. We're 6s, not 7s. We can never get our 7, except Joshua found out. Get in the sun. God will move heaven and earth for you to get in the sun. Get your 7 on. Get your 7 on. Move past your 6. Some of you are still living in your 6. You're still living in your sin. You're still living in your depression. You're still living in your addictions. You're still living in all your negativity. And God says, you got to get out of that. How do I get out of that? The Bible records the number 7 over and over again. 7 perfect days. 7 days of the week. 7 days of creation. 7 stations. 7 last words of Jesus on the cross. 7 colors he put in the rainbow for Noah. 7 times Naaman had to dip himself into Jordan to be healed. 7 times Joshua marches around Jericho. 7 clean pairs of animals on the ark. 7 qualities of the Messiah. 7 parables Jesus teaches. 7 years of Jubilee. Jesus uses the word I am 7 times. He tells Peter to forgive 7 times 70. The book of Revelation, 50 times it uses the number 7. It says there are 7 churches, 7 bowls of judgment, 7 years of tribulation, 7 golden lampstands, 7 seals, 7 trumpets, 7 angels. Are you getting it? The Bible uses 700 times. God, what are you trying to tell us? That I am a sinner and I cannot get to 7. I'm living in my six. I want to get to my seven. And so in Holy Week, there are seven stations. But on day seven, it's the resurrection on the Lord's day. Here it is. I'm living in my six until Jesus rises from the dead and gives us the Lord's day. You say, why do I go to church at all? You go to church because you walk into your seven. Had it not been for Jesus and the Lord's day and given this day to us, you would never be able to walk into your seven through the grave, the empty tomb, and the cross of Jesus Christ of your six. Can I tell you, folks, it is in your seven that you want to be. Here's your last hashtag. Jesus has got your six. He took your six so that you can have his seven. Folks, we need to go get some sun. We need to go get some sun. Tomorrow morning, I pray you wake up and you get enough sun to change everything. Will you stand with me? We're done with this.